I want to start just by asking you a few questions as we're in kind of in this season of the year, and you may actually answer more as you hear the next question. You may say that applies more to me, so your hand might actually go up more than once. But how many here just love to go Christmas shopping? Raise your hand if that's you. Some people love to go Christmas shopping. Okay, then how many would say I don't necessarily love to go Christmas shopping, but it's, I like it okay? Some people say that. All right. How many would say that I really just kind of dislike Christmas shopping? Okay, we have one more category in this question. How many of you would say, I go as far to say, I'd rather have a root canal than go Christmas shopping? There are a few of those people in the room. All right. Well, then how about how you like to Christmas shop the most? Who likes the brick-and-mortar retail store going out and actually shopping the best? Some people in the crowd. Who would say, I'd rather prefer, I don't just prefer brick-and-mortar, but I'm one of those crazy people that I go out like Thanksgiving night or Black Friday and fight with everybody to grab and get the best special deal. Raise your hand if that's you. There's two hands by one person back here. Vicky has all the deals stashed in her house right now. So if you're not the brick-and-mortar kind of shopper, how many would say that you would prefer to do as much shopping as you can or all of it from your easy chair at home on the internet? That might almost be larger. That's a pretty good, significant crowd. One last category, if you are a cyber shopper, how many of you would say that I actually stay up late this Sunday night going into Monday of Cyber Monday, or maybe take Monday off just not to miss any of the cyber deals? Any of those? No takers on that one. All right. You know, I can't speak for you, but over the years, I guess I've just had some of those times where it seems like Christmas seems to be all about the presents. Have you ever had some of those years? And I'm not talking about the presents that I receive. I guess that would be okay if it was all about that, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting all the gift-giving right, where I'm hoping that what I give to my wife and my kids, to those that we love, that they're just the right presents, that they're one of those gifts that's going to surprise them, that on Christmas morning when they open them, it'll make me feel like, yes, I nailed it. I got it. I feel happy. They feel happy. They feel affirmed. They feel surprised. They feel content, or whatever emotion it is that I'm looking for from them in that moment, hoping that I've reached it. Sometimes it feels like that. We're in a message series right now called Doing Christmas. Doing Christmas, where we're looking at how we can really do Christmas the best and do it for real and capture the essence of the Son who's born on Christmas by how we celebrate it with others in and out of traditions that we have, but how do we do it the best celebrating Jesus? And by the way, I just learned something new this week that I find really helpful for me, and maybe you'll find it helpful for you as well. You've likely heard or even had yourself those debates over the Merry Christmas versus the Happy Holidays, right? What's the right thing to say? Can you say Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas? Well, I learned this week that the word holiday comes from the word holy day. It comes from the word holy day. So now, when I hear the Happy Holidays people, I can at least think to myself, if not say to them, you're right, and you don't even know it. Christmas is a holy day. It's the holiest of every days. Well, happy holy day to you, my friend, as well. I don't know if that'd go over well in the department store, but it might. Last week, we did a little twist on words by talking about doing our presence at Christmas, not with a T, but being present in this Christmas season, because after all, and as believers in Jesus, this is our day, our holiday to celebrate Jesus. So how do we be present in it? Not with the presents that we buy, but this week we're going to play with that word a little bit different and twist it back to actually talk about doing Christmas presents with a T. We're actually going to see what we can learn about giving good gifts. When's the last time that you heard a sermon about giving presents to others? This is my first one. And some of you may be thinking, well, why didn't you do this back in October when I did all of my Christmas shopping? I have all my Christmas shopping done. You know, I'm sorry if that's you, but maybe this prayer will help you in the future or in other giving. Besides, the kind of presents that we're going to be talking about today are less likely to do with the traditional box and bow kinds of presents. So this may actually be something you can add to what you've already purchased to even make it a little better. So let's pray, and then let's see what the Bible can teach us about doing presents. Let's pray together. Well, God, I thank you for this season and that we have the opportunity to really be out loud in our faith with Jesus, because it is about Christ's Mass. It's about Christmas. It's about Jesus. And we get to live that out loud, in and out of public. We should do that all the time, but it's actually accepted even more. And so, God, we just pray that you would teach us to do Christmas well. In and out of all the circles we run in during this season, that we do it in such a way that Jesus, you're glorified and others can know you. Even as we think about presents, God, teach us how to do that well. Lead us today, Lord. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's get started by talking about the word presents for just a few moments, where it comes from and what we can draw from its meaning. And of course, the word present has more than one meaning, doesn't it? Because we talked last week about present meaning being present, our presence at Christmas. But how does the word present come to mean a gift? The word present, pardon me, was imported from Old Norman or Old French, and it originally meant being there, you know, like we talked about last week, being present. However, by the 1300s, it became synonymous with a gift being offered, such as to say, presenting a gift. Are you beginning to figure it out? In the English language, friends, we're notorious with taking words and phrases and just shortening them. Sometimes to even bring new meaning to them that's not their own. Listen to some of these words that have been shortened over time. Maybe you'll know the longer version. Cello. Anybody know what cello is the shortened version of? Violoncello. Mike, you should have known that. Come on, man. How about flu? What's that short for? That's short for I don't want you. That's what it's short for. It's short for influenza. Ad is short for advertisement. Blog is short for weblog. That's what it's short for. Rhino, what's that short for? Rhinoceros. How about tele, TV, television, that's easy. How about bike? Bicycle, it could mean motorcycle as well, right? Because sometimes people call those their bikes. Or how about these other slang words? How about abs? Abs are abdominal, stomach muscles, you know, the six-pack. How about admin? Administration or administrator, all right. Ammo? Ammunition. Coke? Coke could be Coca-Cola. It could be cocaine, couldn't it? Coke in some part of the countries could be a Orange Crush, because some place they call soda pop or pop, they call it Coke, and Coke means everything. I've been to other parts of the country where that happens because we have a weird language in America. How about fab? Fabulous, wonderful. One more of those, hood. The front of your car, right? Your hood? No, it means your neighborhood, right? Like Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, your hood. Okay, let's try it a little harder. These are some words that have become shortened over time, and see if maybe you know what the longer version is. Taxi cab. Do you know what that actually is short for? It's taxi meter plus cabriolet. Taxi cab is taxi meter plus cabriolet. And sometimes we even shorten taxi cab to taxi or cab. How about car? Short for carriage, motor carriage. Smog. Smoke and fog, yeah. How about Velcro? Anybody know Velcro? It's actually a French word for velours, velvet plus crochet, hook. Velours, crochet, Velcro. Isn't that interesting? Motel is motor. Motor is hotel, right? Microsoft is microcomputer plus software. Movie, it's moving picture. Pixel is picture element. How about snark? Snark is a snide remark. Snark, right? Don't get snarky with me, right? That's what it is. One more. How about Newt Gingrich? It's just short for Newton Gingrich. So I think that you're starting to get the point, but let's go back to the word present, that word present. So it means that the word present becomes a short form for presenting gifts. Presenting gifts, and we shorten that just to present. And with that being the case, as we look at doing Christmas, let's look at the biblical context of gift giving, presenting gifts on the Christmas scene. You see, it goes back, friends, to the manger. The reason that we present gifts at Christmas is because of the original gift. At just the right time, when humankind was utterly lost in their sin and separation from God, after thousands of years since the original fall of sin in the garden, and God paving the way for redemption through covenants and prophets and kings and judges and leaders and blessings and curses and laws and sacrifices and offerings and the Ten Commandments, at just the right time, God unveiled the plan to save us from our sin by presenting his son Jesus the Christ to be the gift to the world. And don't miss this, friends. The first gift ever was the gift of creation itself. Well, God created us to have life, a walking, breathing relationship with him, but that got disturbed. So the second gift that we have is even more important. It's when the gift of his son was given to redeem us, to join him in the created state again someday. And while we walk this earth, to walk in a forgiven state, a relationship with him on this earth. There's no gift that you'll ever present to anyone anywhere that will match the gift that God presents to us through Jesus. Listen to how Scripture describes this present, this gift presented to us. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God," God's present to you and to me, "the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And one of the most well-known verses in the New Testament also, John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world, he so loved you and me that he gave," that's his gift he's presenting, "he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And friends, that's the real present of Christmas, is eternal life. That's the original present that we acknowledge at Christmas. But it wasn't the only present given at Christmas in the story, was it? I mean, if you remember the story well, then maybe you know where I'm going next. It actually didn't happen on Christmas morning, like we're often told. It likely was months, some say years later, but this group of magi show up to give Jesus his first birthday presents. His first gifts presented to him to welcome him into this world. Let's talk just a moment about who the magi were. I mean, even the phrase, the Magi, it sounds like it could come from the newest Star Wars movie, doesn't it? The Jedi, if the Jedi are the keepers of the Force, then the Magi must be the keepers of the stars. Maybe it's shortened from the Majedi. Maybe that's what it comes from. But all joking aside, the Magi were not kings. As we often hear, as later story tries to tell, we three kings, they weren't kings. For lack of a better understanding, they were a form of holy men astrologers. And a lot of attention was paid to the stars in that time. And they were a group of that tried to read the stars, and they were skilled in philosophy and medicine and natural science. They believed that a person's destiny could be settled by the star under which they were born. So they had this mixture of truth and untruth and superstition all kind of mixed in what they believed. But now there's suddenly appearing some brilliant star that the unvarying order of the heavens of which they thought they were studying is broken by this special phenomenon. To look as if God is breaking into his own order of things and announcing something special. So knowing of the prophecies of a king that's to come, these guys are going to see what this is all about. The Magi don't even comprehend why Jesus is here yet. They don't really know what this is about, but God has been leading them to, by the star, to find some king that he sent to save the world, and they come to him with presents in hand. Listen as I read the account in Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. It says, after they heard the king, this is speaking of King Herod. They stopped to speak to King Herod first, thinking maybe he can help them to find this child that's going to be born that they've read about and they're studying. After they've seen King Herod, they, the Magi, went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child. This is how we know it's later. He's not a baby anymore. They came to the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented. There it is, friends. Perhaps this is where the word present comes from, right out of this account in the Bible. Even the whole idea of gift-giving and celebrating birthdays, it happened first in the Bible. All good things start with God. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So let's take a look at these three gifts that the Magi gave and see what we can learn about them to help us in how we do Christmas presents, okay? Let's do that. The first gift was gold. Now, is it just me or does that seem like kind of a bizarre baby gift? I mean, I've been to a couple baby showers over the years, and I've done some shopping for several others with my wife, and not once has Caroline said, hey, why don't we give him a brick of gold? Oh, that sounds great, sweetie. We'll go to the closet and get one right out of our safe. And I've never seen anyone else give gold at any of those events or at first birthday parties, but that's the first gift that these guys give him. It sounds bizarre until we understand that gift giving was different in that day. Gifts were often given because they meant something. The gift would say something about the person who was receiving the gift. That's your first really big key in how you do presents at Christmas time. Friends, the Magi gave gold because gold was the gift for a king. They knew Jesus was a king, and they came prepared to greet a king. They didn't just happen to have brick with them that they brought along, a brick of gold with them that they brought in their knapsack. They purposely brought gold with them for the purpose of giving it to the king that they knew they were going to meet. It was the custom that no one could ever approach the king without a gift. And gold, the king of metals, was the appropriate gift for the king of all kings. This gift also serves as a great reminder to us that Jesus is the king, friends. We'll never meet Jesus at an equal level. Yes, scripture refers to him as our brother in places, but we must always remember that he's the king, and you only approach a king with humility. Before we can ever be friends with Jesus, we first need to submit to him as our king. So the present of gold was a gift to tell us who Jesus is, right? Here's the second gift. The second gift was frankincense. My family really enjoys watching the old musical on the Turner Classic Movie Channel, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. I don't know how many of you have ever seen that movie. It's a really fun movie. In one scene of the movie, all the brothers, there were seven, obviously, seven brides for seven brothers. Of these seven brothers, they learn that they all have biblical names like Benjamin, Caleb, Gideon, and so on. But one of the brothers' names is Frank. So the question is asked about the name Frank by the young lady who's married to the eldest brother, saying, I don't remember there being a Frank in the Bible. And the brothers respond something like, well, he doesn't like to be called by his full name. She asks, well, what's his full name? And they answer, frankincense. To which Frank begins to clobber all the rest of his brothers. So if anyone's looking for a good biblical name for your kid, frankincense is out there. It's available to you. Frankincense, what it was an incense that was a gift for a priest. It was a sweet perfume that was used in temple worship and at temple sacrifices. The priest's function was to open the way for people to get to God. The Latin word for priest helps us to understand this even better. It's the word pontifex, which means bridge builder. The priest was the man who built the bridge between people and God. Why give this to Jesus? Because that's what Jesus came to do. He opened the way to God. Jesus made it possible for people to enter into the very presence of God. Jesus is our priest. He's our bridge builder. So the gift of frankincense was a gift to tell us what Jesus was here to do, to build a bridge. Then you have this third gift, which was myrrh. Now, for me, this gift is maybe the most curious, and it shows us that these gifts being given to Jesus were not just gifts that the Magi pulled together that they came up with before they went on their journey. These presents were picked out by God the Father in order to teach us about Jesus and his mission from the very beginning. Myrrh is the gift for one who is going to die. It was used to anoint the body of the dead. Jesus came into this world to live for humankind and then in the end to die for humankind. He came to give his life and then to give his death. So the gift of myrrh was a gift to tell how Jesus would accomplish his works to be a bridge builder. These gifts, three gifts from the Magi who were obviously very wise men, get it? The three wise men? These three, even given to a child, these gifts were given to foretell that he was to be the true king, the perfect high priest, and the end, the supreme savior of all. So the true meaning of Christmas, the message of Christmas and Jesus coming can be found in these three gifts. The king came to build a bridge for our sinful selves to God by his death as our savior. God made the message clear about Jesus way back in his birth. Isn't that cool? That's really awesome. Now, friends, outside of this great message of redemption, which is the main emphasis of the story, there's another practical thing that we can learn in doing Christmas about our presents from the Magi. They can teach us three things about doing presents this year, three tips that can help us to present gifts that honor God and honor the gift recipients. We're going to look at those tips. Here's tip number one for doing Christmas presents like the Magi. Tip one is give gifts to others that affirm who they are. That affirm who they are. The gift of gold affirmed that Jesus is king. What gift can you present to those you love that affirms them and speaks to who they are? Instead of buying from the latest fad or the newest techno toys, what can you present to those that you love that says, I see who you are and I affirm you. I'm so glad to see the person that you're becoming. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. So pray. Pray and ask God to lead you to find the ways that you can build those up that you love in the godly parts of who they are. And think outside of the box. Maybe your present to your husband or to your wife, to your kids or to your parents, to your coworker or your friends, maybe it won't be in a box wrapped with paper this year. Maybe it'll be a letter that you write, an action that you do, a place that you take them, a way that you serve them, a way that you spend time with them, a hug or a hand that you give to them, or some other way that affirms who they are. Tip two that we learned from the Magi is this, to do presents that accentuate their purpose. Presents that accentuate their purpose. Do you know how many people wander this world looking for purpose, friends? People are wandering this world just searching for a greater purpose. The greatest gift that you and I can give to someone that we love, if they don't yet know Jesus and have Jesus, is to bring them Jesus. Jesus brings life, the purpose that's missing without him. Maybe you can tell someone you love, my present to you this year is just to take you to the Christmas Eve worship experience because I've found so much purpose in Jesus in my life. Maybe that's the gift that you'll give. But with our main purpose and Jesus already under consideration, how else can we help accentuate the other purposes that we see in the life of those that we love and the presence that we give them? Maybe it's going to be some sort of musical gift for the musically inclined, some sort of tools for the mechanically minded. However you can connect to what God's calling them to do and be in their life, those are presents that matter. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, it says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5 says, "The purposes of a man, of a person's heart, are deep waters, but a man, a person of understanding, draws them out." What gifts can you present that will help draw out the purpose in those that you love? If all the presents that you give have no connection to the purpose that's in the life of those that you're giving them to, then you might want to reconsider how you're doing presents. Tip 3 that we learned from the Magi gifts is this: to do presents that accomplish their best, the best for those you're giving them to, through humility. Can I just say the hard truth, friends? Some of the things that we give to others don't seek to accomplish their best. Grandmas and grandpas, we love you, and I'm not trying to make an enemy with your grandkids, which I might do by the time I'm done here. But grandmas and grandpas, showering your grandchildren with all the best electronics, devices, and toys doesn't always seek to accomplish their best or lead them to humility. I had one set of grandparents when I was growing up that loved us greatly, but my parents eventually had to sit down with them and tell them to stop spending so much and buying so much for us. My parents were having a hard time keeping up with our gifts at home to with what my grandparents were giving. And listen, they were doing this in love, but there are better ways to express love. There are better ways. If a gift is going to feed an addictive behavior, pull somebody away from their greatest purpose, stir pride instead of humility, or be over extravagant, it probably ought not be given. And doing Christmas well, when doing presents, our goal should be to present gifts that accomplish others' best. Will this gift somehow encourage them to be a better person? Will it tool them for their life's purpose? Will it teach them to give of themselves as Jesus gave of himself? Let this prayer from Paul to the Philippians be your guide. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God." So friends, those are 3 tips that we learn from the Magi's giving. I want to give you one other invaluable tool as you think about giving to those that you love, whether it's doing Christmas presents, other presents, or just showing that you love them. This is a tool that if you use it will revolutionize your love expression to those that matter the most to you. Dr. Gary Chapman is a Christian who authored a book 2 decades ago titled The 5 Love Languages. Chapman locked into the important find that every person predominantly gives and receives love in 1 of 5 ways. In order to, if you can discover the way that the ones that you love, your spouse, your children, your family members, and even your friends, if you can discover how they receive love, their love language that speaks to them, then you'll be on a path to make those relationships much, much better. Some of you have probably heard of the 5 love languages before. Like I said, the book's been around for 20 years. And maybe you've heard of it, but have you ever thought about the love languages, paying attention to those languages when you consider the presents, the gifts that you're going to give someone? Think about how that can help how you think about what you get. What I'm going to do is give you a short description of each of the 5 love languages that Dr. Chapman has discovered, and then challenge us to discover the love languages and those that we love, and then think about, pray about, how that can help us to give the best kind of presents that we can give them. Does that make sense? Okay, so very quickly, The first love language we're going to talk about is receiving gifts. For some people, that's their love language. I picked this one first because for some of you with the loved ones who have this love language, this is going to be easy for you in doing presents for them this Christmas. Because this person who feels love is a person who feels loved and appreciated when they receive gifts. And it doesn't necessarily have to be expensive gifts or even large numbers of gifts or large gifts. These people just know that they're loved when they know you're thinking enough about them to present them with a thoughtful gift. It might be simple things, like when you're shopping at the grocery store and you see your spouse's favorite dessert in the bakery. You can easily skip that dessert and move on, but for that person who knows love for them by how you give to them, bringing home that piece of pie might communicate love to them in a huge way. It might be as simple as a pack of gum that they really like, a flower, some music they like to listen to, a book that they really like to read or whatever. On the surface, this love language, it sounds shallow, but I assure you that it isn't necessarily so. These folks aren't looking to be showered with gifts or for you to spend a ton of money on them. It's just that they know when you stop and you think enough about them to pick up what they like, it touches them in a special place in their hearts. Now, listen to me closely. If receiving gifts is not a person's love language, you can give gifts to them until you're blue in the face, and they still may be asking the question, I wonder if he or she really loves me. Some people don't receive love that way, and gifts won't do it, and they still won't know they're loved. That's why we need to look at the other four love languages. The second one is this. It's words of affirmation. This love language uses words to affirm other people. They don't care if you give them a gift or not. They just want to hear you tell them that you love them and tell them why. They want you to recognize the person that they are and the talents that they have. Words of affirmation can be given with a spoken word or in a note or a text or an email, etc. Little notes in your spouse's lunch will go a million miles for someone who has the love language of words of affirmation. For this person, doing Christmas presents will also be easy because you can give them whatever gift you want. The gift doesn't matter. It's going to be the card or the note that's attached to it that you actually write on. And not just sign and tell them why you love them and why they're special to you and you affirm them. They'll appreciate the gift, but what they'll never forget is the card that you wrote for them, telling you that you affirm them because that's how they receive love. Here's the third love language. It's acts of service. And for these people, actions speak louder than words. They don't care about gifts. They don't want you to tell them about how you love them. They want you to show them by what you do for them. If your spouse has this love language, do you know what the best present will be that you can give them at Christmas? Do the dishes after the Christmas meal without being asked. Run the vacuum before the guests show up at Christmas celebration. Clean up the wrapping paper as soon as the gift exchange is over. Help with the Christmas decorations. Do the laundry. Make the bed. Clean the bathroom. Go fill their gas tank. Vacuum out their car. You get the idea, right? Acts of service. Some people really know they're loved when that's what we do. The fourth love language is quality time. This love language is all about giving the other person your undivided attention. For these people, your presence really is your presence. That's what that speaks to them. If the one you love has this love language, then part of your present may be coming home from work every day, every night on time, all through this Christmas season. It may be taking some vacation just to spend time with them or checking out of work a couple hours early. It may mean surrendering the football game to spend time with the one that you love. She's not going to do it for you, Gary. You can get creative, but your presence will mean much more than your present to someone who knows they're loved by quality time spent with them. And finally, the fifth love language is this, it's physical touch. For this person, nothing speaks more deeply to them than physical touch. Some people aren't touchers. We don't like to touch or be touched. I'm not especially a hugger outside of my family, but some people really show love by hugs, and that's what matters to them. Obviously, this love language requires boundaries. You need to know that the person on the other side actually wants a hug or a pat on the arm or on the back. But here's the thing. Often touchers end up being married to people who aren't touchers. And so the toucher keeps touching the untoucher, thinking that their expression of love, and the untoucher isn't getting it. While the untoucher never patting the toucher on the arm or offering a hug, and the toucher is left feeling unaffirmed. If you have a loved one who has this love language, and you don't, just break out of the untouchy funk a bit and give them a hug this Christmas. If it's your spouse, then, you know, sit next to them on the couch and hold their hand and watch a cheesy Hallmark Christmas movie or something. An hour and a half, 2 hours, it'll all be over with. And you've given them a great gift. You may think that all sounds corny, but listen to me. If this is the love language of your spouse, it will communicate a whole lot more to them than a diamond ring or a new socket set. Your spouse or your child sometimes are screaming inside. They're saying, "Do you love me? Then hug me once in a while. Show me by putting your arm around me and by holding my hand." You see, friends, doing presents is much less about choosing the right gift and much more about finding the right love language. There's actually a website, www.5lovelanguages.com. You can also just Google 5 love languages and you'll find it, where you can take a 2-minute survey that will help you find out what your love language is. It takes no time at all. Well, 2 minutes, but doesn't take much time at all. That could be a great tool for you in how you share your love and your gifts to your spouse and your family this Christmas. You see, here's what often happens. You're going to usually send love the way that you receive love. And your loved one's going to send love the way that they receive love. So if your love language is giving gifts, and their love language is quality time, and you keep showering the gifts, and they keep wanting time, and you're sending a signal that you think they're getting, and they're missing it entirely, and they're questioning how much you love them. Because they know language love by this, and you know love by this. So when you find out that their love is quality time, and you strike there, and just spend some time with them, all of a sudden, your relationship becomes new. And love is shown to them in a way that maybe they've not ever felt expressed. And greater things will happen in that marriage, in that friendship, in that love relationship that you have. Let's follow the lead of the Magi, doing presents that affirm who our loved ones are, that accentuate their purpose, that help them to accomplish their best while connecting with our loved ones with the love language that speaks real affirmation to them. You see, this takes all of the commercialism out of gift giving, doesn't it? It takes it all out and it makes it a godly and a biblical way to respond to the tradition of giving presents. So maybe I've just made your task of doing presents a little bit harder this year instead of easier. But I promise you that if you'll do the work, if you'll take the extra effort, it'll make the results much better. Let's pray together. God, you certainly aren't opposed to giving presents because you're the greatest gift giver of all times. You give us the gift of your son, Jesus, and your gift just keeps giving. You give us all that we need for life. You give us relationships of people to love us and for those of us to love. God, you pour out goodness to us all the time. You're the greatest gift giver that there has ever been. We'll never outgive you. God, can we learn from you? Will we learn from you and from your word how we can do presents that mean something? Gifts that matter, gifts that connect love and the love of Jesus to those that we love. God, may this be a new Christmas for us as we do Christmas and as we do it well. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I heard a Christian speaker once talking about the difficulty in getting gifts, Christmas gifts, and he said that we have to invent new things every year to give to people who have everything. And so it's an awesome thing for me to try to think outside of the box, to not just find the next gizmo, the next thing that's new, but to find a way to connect with people's hearts like Jesus has connected with us. So that's my prayer for you and for me in our gift giving this year. God, help us to connect with the present of Jesus that you've given to us and think of ways we can present Jesus to others and our gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.